the very beginning. It was late mid-January. The cool, breezy and rainy season was nearing its end. People were becoming more agitated and relentless as the news forecasted humongous amounts of heat with intense humidity would soon boil the surface of the earth. Melissa had just parked a black little car in the public parking space near the LRT station, about 1 kilometer from her office. She arrived sharp at 7:30 and was delighted to find multiple empty parking slots for her to choose. Early bird catches the worm indeed. She quickly grabbed her ancient knapsack and stepped out of the car. She spread several seconds to check her reflection on the car's window. Clad in black headscarf, navy blue, long-sleeved blouse that reached her upper thigh, and dark trousers complementing her dark headscarf, she smiled softly to herself, feeling confident in her simple yet professional-looking attire. She threw a glance to the sky, the habit she picked up from her first time flying on a plane. She fell in love instantly with the vastness of the infinite roof of the earth and the strings of sun rays poking through the fluffy clouds. As much as she loved morning skies painted with the citrus hues of the sun crawling out of the starry night before, she certainly would miss waking up to the sound of heavy rain pouring from the skies early in the morning. It was as if the clouds were crying over the overheated earth, healing the dry, fertile lands with the blessed tears from the heavens. It was beautiful. Oh, how she had missed it. Feeling her chest swell from the side above, Melissa tightened the shoulder straps of her knapsack and started walking across the parking space towards the nearby pavement. Morning, dear. You're unusually early today. Don't want to be stuck in that horrendous traffic, are we? A middle-aged man with a square jaw and a pair of thin, blackish lips from years of practically inhaling cigarettes greeted her with jovial, nasally voice. His slightly slanted eyes crinkled at the corner while addressing her rare timeliness. Melissa often wondered how this street vendor managed to sound so chirpy with that nasally voice of his so early in the morning. Morning, sir. It's Wednesday. You know how awful the traffic is on this day of the week, she offered with a crooked smile dotting her flushed face. God, she loathed walking. 1 kilometer of breeze walking from the car park to her office was enough to drench her dry armpits and turn her to a blueberry mess of sweats. The man nodded in understanding. He packed her usual breakfast and handed it to her with a couple of donuts while chattering loudly about his disastrous weekend with his in-laws. She chuckled at his obvious distaste of his in-laws and took 3 blue notes from her purse to pay for her food. The older man quickly halted his prattle and clicked his tongue in disapproval. The donuts are on the house. Just give me a couple of those. He refused to accept more notes from her and whisked her away unapologetically with a sideways tilt of his cracked chin. Don't blame me if you went bankrupt, old man, she warned jokingly before hoisting her breakfast to thank him. I wouldn't dream of it. Now leave. You're scaring my customers with your gummy smiles. And her gum is the flashy dear. He pointed at her to the people who were queuing in front of his court, purposely putting her in the spotlight. That ought to chase her away. He knew how much she detested being the center of attention. A cheeky bastard. Melissa quickly waved in warm and continued to stride along the pavement until she reached at the gate of the building of the college she worked. The white 6-floor building was sandwiched between 2 equally mega-sized buildings and it was bedecked with a mock restaurant mimicking a typical classy brasserie in Paris. Brasserie in Paris. Protruding at the front lobby, the restaurant was flourishingly attracting curious eyes and hungry bellies. 2 Bangladeshi guards nodded politely at her as she half ran towards the open glass door of the lobby. She pressed the lift up button countless times, though she knew no matter how many times she tried to drill that innocent button into its socket, the lift would never arrive a second faster. She still did it anyway. She never knew why. Never understand why. The lift opened after long-awaited 2 minutes. 30 seconds, she mentally counted every second, and she dashed in like a madman. She repeated her previous attack on the lift close button and sighed in relief when the door quickly closed. She then pressed the button to the second highest floor where the staff room was. It was still quite early, hence the team lead floor. Melissa went to the nearest thumb ID machine and scanned her thumb onto the screen. Her ID appeared on the monitor with the time she clocked in. She then walked into the vast area of cubicles and shelves to where her sorry little cubic was immediately located. Stacks of papers and files covered the whole surface of her ivory wooden desk. Yes, her sad tiny little desk cubicle just at the corner in the middle of the staff room. She lazily dropped her knapsack on the misty gray carpet, its back way on the wooden foot of her desk. Her breakfast was left on the right corner of her desk next to a pile of course files and students' endless unmarked papers and assignments. Her piercing camera eyes swiftly swept around the area, searching for the existence of another poor sort like her, and she was not disappointed. A pair of long, hairy ebony hands swirled in the air 5 cubicles away from her. "You're early," she remarked incredulously with a tad of annoyance lacing her voice. The owner of those hairy limbs, Taran, stood slowly. His long, strong legs carried him nearing 6 foot tall, and his dark eyes glistened behind a glass perched low on his crooked nose. "I'm hungry, that's why," he rubbed his hard stomach with furrowed brows. Melissa sniffed the air for a good second before wrinkling her nose. "You've had nasi lemak with fried chicken," she accused knowingly. The contained air in the room was heavy with a mix of creamy fragrance of coconut milk from the nasi lemak and the familiar burning crispy smell of fried chicken. Her stomach grumbled softly at the thought of tasting the fragrant smell. "I swear you got yourself a nose of a bloody hound there, woman," the tall Indian man retorted, tapping his nose twice. She rolled her eyes as she sat on her seasoned PVC black presidential black back chair with a heavy groan. God, she felt like a 100-year-old hag. Melissa looked around her desk, mentally weighing her desire to have a nice, pretty, organized desk with the innate laziness that had long succumbed within her. She decided to offer the letter, and she fished out her 5 going-to-6-year-old Dell and laid it onto her work desk. "Ugh, already? It's only 8. Taran whined as soon as he reached her cubicle. Melissa threw him a dirty look. "It's Wednesday. I haven't prepared the report for today's meeting yet," she replied in annoyance before switching on her laptop and grabbed her diary from her drawer. She flipped multiple pages at once and sighed in relief when she spotted her own messy scrawl on a page she was looking for. "Come on, Lisa, you have 2 hours to prepare the sorting report. Let's eat your breakfast. What do we have here?" She leaned over her to seize the plastic bag containing a beautifully wrapped nasi lemak and a couple of donuts. Melissa grunted in disgust when he perched himself on her armrest but did not shove him away. He unwrapped the plastic and moaned in pleasure when his eyes closed as he greedily ravished her delicious pastries. "You pig," she chided him, though she didn't know why she bothered. It wouldn't make any difference anyway. Taran swiped the corner of his mouth with his tongue before licking it clean. "It's really good. You want some?" "Oops, sorry. There's only this much left. I wish you a happy, long life with this," he taunted, shamelessly offered her bits of donut crumbs from the inside of the plastics, using the same thumb he just licked. Melissa rolled her eyes in disgust, determined to ignore his usual jeer. She stood up abruptly, causing him to lose his balance. Thank for his quick reflex, he managed to hold onto the cubicle wall. His eyes were shooting daggers at her in direct revenge. "Real mature, Lisa," he half sneered before walking back to his cube. Melissa ignored him, gracefully resumed his original position on her chair, and continued writing her report. The ancient laptop was sitting in the middle of the mess, screaming warm air for every 5.5 minutes, indicating its increasingly shortened lifespan. Her desk somehow disturbingly looked like a crime scene, of course minus the eerie pool of blood and decaying pieces of body parts of a random victim scattered everywhere. She shook her head, trying to force the nauseating images of her flooded brain. She couldn't afford having a miserable start of today. She had a meeting scheduled in less than 3 hours. She needed her morning to be bright and shine before the doomed meeting even began. She certainly did not need an additional after-party of projectile vomiting display in front of her civilized colleagues. She had already claimed her throne as the cave lady. She didn't want to prove them right for awarding her that title. She kept her eyes glued on her laptop screen, reading the one paragraph that she had been editing over and over again for the past 15 minutes while her lips sounded in mouth each word. New semester had just begun. Already she was wrecked. The unceasing blinding pain that continuously hammering the frontal part of her brain was a concrete evidence of her own ruin. Her boss, Prof. Ju, was the head of the department. Her life savior, the man she would always look up to, decided to only inform her about his leaving for Umrah, the non-mandatory pilgrimage performed by Muslims, one day before his departure. One sodding day. Her being a shipwreck was utterly legit. She would not be as emotionally unstable as she was now if he had been crystal clear about the volume of the paperwork he had unceremoniously thrown on her flabby, shaky laps. She took a deep breath and exhaled, the little voice inside her head repetitively and continuously reminding her, by yelling like a maniac, of her purpose of life. No, scratch that. Life was too big of a word. Her purpose of working. Teaching had always been her burning passion. Ever since she was a young girl, already she had shown the potential. She would gather her Mickey and Minnie and tons of other nameless soft toys, line them up, and begin to teach them year one mathematics, even though she herself was horrible at it. It was the sole reason she furthered her education and cried out of joy when she received the life-changing offer letter, offering her the position she had been dreaming of since a lecturer. But this, the thing she was doing now, this was not what she had signed up for. She was a lecturer, a teacher, a scientist, an academic for crying out loud, not a bloody administrative clerk. She profusely refused him when he offered her the position of his deputy, well, basically his right man, his right wing man, or in her case, right wing woman. They got into clownish disputes over this matter, head to head too many times, yet every time he shot her with one final look that almost made her shit her trousers. It was a golden opportunity, he would argue, but she begged to differ. It was not because she deemed herself useless, no, not at all. She was fully aware of her capabilities. She knew she could handle it. She was Melissa Ibrahim, after all. She descended from the noble lineage of the great Ibrahim, her ancestor, not the noble prophet, peace be upon him, by the way. For generations, Ibrahimians wore irons and steels in their chests. They were fearless warriors, adept survivors, and she had full intention to retain their lineage as pure as it was first established. But she detested managerial work just as much as the August Ibrahimian blood coursed through her veins. Her train of thoughts was halted when a high-pitched voice dragged her out of the autopilot mode to superconscious mode. She looked up and saw a group of people standing in the middle of the staff room. This is odd, she thought. Students were not allowed in here. So who are these guys? She wondered. She wrinkled her brows, her big brown irises hidden behind her thick reading glasses, roamed swiftly among the group of people, silently questioning their identity and existence. The owner of the high-pitched voice, Laura, a middle-aged lady from the HR department, flashed a superficial smile at the lecturers who were unfortunately present to witness the lady's public facade. She had to pursue her lips tightly until her naturally pink lips turned whitish, just so that she could stop the tiny bubble of laughter that was threatening to manifest itself in its full evil form of her mouth. When a handful of her colleagues effortlessly emitted a spiteful groan of irritation out loud. They couldn't be more obvious, could they? It was epic. She would pay ₱100 to watch the look on Laura's face one more time. It made her miserable day less. Well, miserable. Much lesser. Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Just a short while, please. Thank you very much. Okay, everyone, in accordance to our CEO's vision, we have recruited these incredibly talented young educators to help us to achieve our targets. Please give a round of applause to our newcomers. Laura turned her back to look at the people who were still standing awkwardly behind her and started clapping rather loudly, mechanically welcoming them. The rest of the staff half-heartedly mirrored her well-practiced gesture. One by one introduced themselves. Most of them were women and quite young-looking too. A seemingly odd turn of tide by the management, she would say. Her eyes drifted lazily from one familiar from one unfamiliar face to another, she could feel her eyelids grow heavy as the clock ticked by the second. "Melissa, Starlet," she hastily sobered up. She hastily sobered up when she thought she heard her name was called. She sat up straight and focused on the medium-tall, beautiful woman who was currently speaking. Did she call her name? As she was introducing herself, Melissa could not tear her eyes off her. She had never seen a woman like her before. She was subtle with underlying grace. She wore an endearingly shy smile on her bony face, but when she spoke, her voice carried such confidence that was not to be mistaken as a mere act of forged bravery. Immediately, Melissa found herself wanting to be acquainted with her, probably because the newcomer seemed to possess the attributes that she longed to dominate, the grace of an angel with the courage of a wild, untamed lion. "What's your name again?" one of the lecturers asked snidely. Her intention was made obvious in her harsh tone and from the way she crossed her arms over her ample chest. "What can you teach?" another question with an unfriendly motivation was hurled in her direction. "Some grannies from my village find it hard to remember my name too." "It's okay, I understand. Just call me Marissa. I've been teaching accounting and finance for the past 2.5 years. The woman smiled politely, albeit her firm voice didn't match her innate softness. "Whack!" A smart grin shamelessly curled at the edge of Melissa's lips. That woman, whose name was uncannily similar to her, definitely was not someone to be trifled with. She made a mental reminder to ask her for her phone number later. She had this strange feeling that they might have some odd connection with each other. Her smirk dissolved the moment she felt a powerful force pushing her to move her eyes off Marissa, gravitating them through the crowd. She restlessly seeking a relief, like a thirsty man mindlessly wandering in the roasted desert, until finally her sight rested at the end of the crowd. There she saw him. One of few beetles hopelessly shadowed by the magnificent beauty of the multicolored petals. He was strangely different from the rest of the men, an enigma, but not really so. She could tell from the way he carried himself. He was strikingly tall for a Malay guy, and his body size was flawlessly proportionate to his tall frame. He was taller than Tharan, she would presume. He was neither skinny nor too buff. He was just perfect. His skin was the bright hue of flaxen honey when morning sunlight pierced through it. Yes, the exact shade of golden bronze, slightly on the lighter side. Already from a couple feet away, Melissa could trace his substantially most valuable trait, his eyes. God helps us all. His pair of big, round, coffee-colored eyes spelled more words than his pale, red lips could ever done. She waited for him to sense her brazen stare, but it was to no avail. He might look like he was looking at people when he spoke, but she knew he was just scanning the area without really registering anything at all. He was just probably nervous. It was his first day at work, after all. Melissa caught herself to give up another second to fleetingly appreciate his very presence before she was dutifully absorbed back into her miserable day of life. That's all for chapter 1. I hope you guys enjoy it. There's a little bit of background noise of, you know, toilet doors open and closed. That's my mom, by the way. And maybe a bit of background noise of the wind, the fan, actually. And of course, I made many mistakes, right? So I hope you guys understand what I write to you. And we'll continue with chapter 2 later in the next session. By the way, this is a story that I wrote, completely fictional. Any similarities, it was just, that would be just coincidental, right? It was just coincidence, so it has nothing to do with anybody dead or alive, okay? Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. Take care.